Man, God woke me up in the middle of the night, reminding me of an illustration from a long time ago that I'm sure you remember, but it goes perfect with today's verse in verse 16. Again, Revelation's not a scary book if you're a believer. It lets us know that in the end we win. It shows us who the risen, exalted Christ is, and that's the one that's in charge right now. That's the one. What's Christ doing for you right now? Ashley, do you know what he's doing for you right now? He's praying. Hey, JT, you know what Christ is doing besides praying for you right now? How many of y'all ever needed a defense attorney? Anybody ever need a defense attorney? Yeah, every one of us need a defense attorney because Satan is up there saying every moment, you know what Shane was thinking when he got stung by those bees? You know what? You know what he was doing? And you know what? And how many of y'all would be guilty at what Satan has accused us of being? But Christ is up there as our defense attorney. He's the judge, jury, the attorney, everything. And he's like, I paid for it. It's a done deal. It's settled. He's innocent. I took the penalty for it. So shut up and get out of here. How many of y'all are grateful that he is giving you a bill of, giving you a free ride? Yeah, absolutely, man. So Christ is up there. And that's why we're looking at Revelation to see what he's doing, all the things that he's doing for us and seeing who he is. In Revelation chapter 12, chapter 1, verses 12 through 20 is probably one of the greatest descriptions of the exalted, risen Christ. And it's a big description. And later when he goes into the churches, he's going to use little applicable pieces of this for each one of the churches to encourage them with the struggles they have. So I want to encourage you to hang on through this, especially as we go through these churches. But what I want to share with you this morning is really verses 16, 17, 18. We're going to go to the end. I do have to go through some of this first, but many of you know my testimony. I've shared it many times, but in the middle of the night last night, God woke me up and said, bam, here is the illustration for verse 16, because verse 16 really just kept standing out. And so, as you know, Christmas in 1987, I got my first Bible. Man, I started reading it. I was no longer interested in cutting a deal with God. I really had taken 20-something years of my life, ran it, and I was sick of what I had done, what I had made, what I had accomplished, and everything I accomplished. It was like a soap bubble. Any of y'all ever chase soap bubbles when you're a kid? Right? You blow the bubble and you chase it. Did you do that, Heather? Right? And did you ever catch any of them? No? Did anybody ever catch any? Terry was good. Terry caught them. And in fact, in Terry's office at his house, he has a shelf and a case where all of the soap bubbles he's caught his whole life are there. And he feeds them glycerin every day. Is that not right, Terry? No? Because what happened when Terry caught the bubble? It popped. And that's what we chase. Anything except for Christ is like chasing a soap bubble, man. And you think this is going to make you happy. You think this is going to satisfy you. But every time when we catch it, pop, it pops. It's not there. And that's what I had done with my life. Everything I wanted, I chased. And once I got it, thinking, if I get this, I'll be good. And it was just empty. Finally, I gave up and I just said, God, I give up. I'm done. I got nothing left to chase. Nothing that I can even think of that would make me happy anymore, God, that would make me satisfied. If you can salvage anything out of this life I've made a mess of, it is yours. And louder than audibly, he said, good, I want you to be a preacher. That was even before he confirmed the fact that I was saved and anything. I want you to be good. I've been waiting for you. I want you to be a preacher. And again, you've heard this before, but I said, God, didn't you know that in high school, Bishop Moore Catholic High School, I'd get on the bench and I'd make fun of preachers. This is Brother Ed's Bible Revival Hour. You know, everybody gather around and passing a plate and all. I'd make fun of that stuff. He said, yeah, but I'm going to use you. And I'm like, God, I don't know what I'm doing. He said, good, you won't get in the way. And I'm like, God, I just don't understand. God, I don't think I can wear a suit like those guys. I can't be like those guys on TV. He said, I don't want you to be those. I want you to be you. You be a spirit-filled you. I didn't even know what that meant, man. It was just, you just trust me. Just agree to the deal and trust me. And I'll make you what I want you to be. And I just still, you all know I ain't the sharpest marble in a box. So I still wasn't getting it. And he said, you know, look. You remember the Bahamas, man? You remember like when you'd see those sharks? I'm like, yeah, they were, you know. He said, were those sharks alone? I said, no, man. All the fish were kind of running, you know, but he's like, you remember those little fish underneath the sharks? I'm like, oh yeah, the remoras. Y'all know what remoras are, right? And he said, that's what I want you to be. He said, I'm going to be your shark. But he said, I want you to be the remora. And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, you know how those remoras, they stay stuck to the bottom of the shark? He said, hey, does a remora ever have to worry about protection if he's underneath the shark, Heather? Yeah, no. Does he ever have to worry about provisions if during the middle of a feeding frenzy he stays stuck under the shark? No, Terry, there's plenty of scraps in there. And so he was sure him. He said, I want you to be the remora. I'm going to be your shark, but I want you to be the remora. And I'm going to give you a head that will allow you to stay stuck to me. And that head is called faith. And if you use it, the more you use it, the better it's going to get. If you don't use it, man, you're not going to benefit from it. But I want you to be the remora. Everybody do that real quick. Super worship aerobics, man. God, here we go. I got four motions that you guys can share at your house, all right, if you need it. God is my shark. I'm the remora. All right, you got that? God's my shark. I'm the remora. God's my shark. I'm the remora. All right? And you think Terry can understand that? He's got lots of experience with sharks and remoras and all that. And so the more I thought about that, man, God as my shark, and if I just stay stuck to him, I don't have to worry about anything. As I said a minute ago to Heather, I don't have to worry about protection if I stay stuck to him. And you're going to see today that he says, I got you in my right hand. I got you, man. You don't have to worry about protection. I don't have to worry about my provisions. And you certainly don't have to worry about your propulsion. There's your other P word, propulsion, if you're taking notes. But the idea is, who can go farther? Me with my little Nemo remora fins, or me stuck to God with my big old Carcharodon, Megalodon, however you want to say it. Redneck version is Megalodon, all right? Yeah. How are you going to go further in life, staying stuck to the shark or just flying off on your own little remora fins? Staying stuck to the shark. So in the last 30-something years of God being my shark and me being a remora, the more I stay stuck to him, the more I understand this illustration, and the more it really stuck out as we got to verse 16 of how important it is for you to understand God's your shark. That's why we're looking at Revelation, because he's going to show you how awesome your shark is. God's our shark. And if we will assume the role of that remora, everything we need will happen. Things we can't even dream about. Things we could never even come up with on our own. Isn't that what we do, Ashley? So often after church, so often with things that happen in Driftwood, we're like, well, that wasn't on my bingo card. It was like, you know, things that happen. We're like, can you believe that actually happened? We get to watch God orchestrate things so supernatural, things we couldn't even come up with. Abby, have you got to see God do things so supernatural that only you... And by the way, congratulations on your new website in Ocean Daydreams, and I pray all that's going good. You want to buy some surf suits, and I don't know, what do you got? You got everything, right? Just go to Ocean Daydreams, right? Is that... What's your website address? OceanDaydreams.com. Some of the coolest stuff. If I was a girl surfer, buddy, I'd be wearing some of this stuff, but... You don't even want to imagine me in that. But she's got all kinds of jewelry, soaps, all kinds of things. Her soaps are awesome, but I better shut up so we don't lose our tax-exempt status. I'm not just promoting the fact that God, you've allowed God to be your shark. Is he taking you with his big fins? Is he taking you places you could never get on your own with your own little, like, Nemo fins? Absolutely. And I'm sure every one of you have that same testimony, and it's pretty cool. So let's go back. Here's where we're at in Revelation, starting in chapter 1, verse 12, where John, man, he's just heard all kinds of stuff, and he turns and hears the voice that had been talking to him. I'm not going to preach on these. I'm just going to go over it real quick. He says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. Now, that's a little interesting, because the voice speaking to John is Jesus, but it's the exalted Jesus. Back in the day when Jesus, before he had been crucified, even at before his ascension, John knew his voice. But that's how different God Almighty is. That's how different the exalted Christ is. John, the one that says, I'm the one that Jesus loved, that one that had that intimate life, didn't even recognize him because he's so awesome. That's why he's blown away and he's going to tell us who he is. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. All right, we preached on this 2 weeks in a row, not 3 weeks now. But the golden lampstand is who? It's a church. And the church is? Us. You're the lampstand. And so your whole purpose in life is to hold the what? You're a lampstand, so you hold the what? The light. And the light is who? It's Christ. That's why he left you here. That's the whole purpose. And we preached on this for like almost 2 weeks, I think. Now, and in the midst of the lampstands, in the midst of all the believers, in the midst of these seven churches in context, in the midst of you, one like the Son of Man. Who's that? Who's the Son of Man? Christ. So Christ is in the middle of the lampstand. Do you have access to him as a lampstand? Absolutely. Where are you going to get your light from, Jenna? From Christ in the middle of the lampstand. So where do you always have to be looking? Are you going to get your light from your husband? No, is he going to get light from you? You got to reflect off each other, right? You light it up for each other, but he's not your source of light, and you're not his source of light. Christ is a believer's source of light. That's where we get it from. So he's in the middle of all of us, and so the light that we get from Christ, and we can shine on each other and encourage each other, which we should. So in the midst of the lampstand, one like the Son of Man, look at this, clothed with a long robe with golden sash around his chest. Boy, that's a little bit different. That's a little bit different than his crucifixion. In his crucifixion, what did the soldiers do with his little raggedy tunic that he had? They ripped it off him and they were gambling for it, right? Not this one, man. This is the exalted, risen Christ. He is the one that's praying for you right now. You understand that? Well, he's praying for you right now. You're like, well, what do I need him praying? Are you glad, Barb, that he's praying for you right now? He's the one keeping you saved. If he died right now, you would not be saved, because it's not like you get saved and for us, we get saved and we're saved eternally. But we're only saved eternally because the eternal one is keeping us saved. He's our advocate. He's our defense attorney. He's the one protecting us. He's doing all of that right now for every one of us as believers. So in the midst of the lampstand, one like the Son of Man, which is Christ, clothed in a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. We talked last week about that being the priest, among many other things. Bottom line is, he's an important person. He is the most important person. He has all authority in heaven and earth, everywhere. But as our priest, one of the duties was to keep that lampstand trimmed, keep the lights trimmed, make sure you have oil if you want it, make sure your wick is good if you want it, make sure he's got everything prepared for you to be able to shine brightly on the lampstand for him. If you want it. But you got to hang out with him. He's right in the middle of all of us. It's there. It's there. If you don't have it, it's because you don't want it. Well, wait, I want it, but I just don't want to put the time in. Wait, I want it, but I don't. I want a lot of other things. No, you got to want it. If you want it, it's the most awesome thing you could ever have on a moment-by-moment basis, is that intimate relationship with him. He's making it possible so that your life can be doing supernatural things that can only be explained by him doing it. So he's an important person, ready to take care of everything for you. Look at this next verse. The hairs of his head were white, we talked about. That's the wisdom, the Ancient of Days out of Daniel. Like wool, like snow, that's perfection. He's pure, nothing wrong with him. His eyes are like the flame of fire. He can see through things. How many of y'all ever been scammed? Anybody ever been scammed, right? So you couldn't see through something, right? Your eyes were like, oh yeah, dude, this looks good, right? If you're in that relationship, bam. And if he lets you get scammed, it's so you can lead that person to Christ, or at least tell him about Christ. He's got a purpose for whatever's going on. He sees through everything, but what's the most important? What's the best thing he sees through? It's me. You know that we overestimate how good we are and underestimate how bad we are? Again, you've heard me talk about pictures before. Are there any bad pictures? How many of y'all ever had a bad picture? You have not had a bad picture. That's what you look like when you're not posing. That's what you look like when everybody else sees you. You know, we know how to be like, oh, you know. We need his eyes like fire burning in. We've got to be in the Word. We need him looking at us, looking deep down inside of us. Because how many of y'all want to become more like him? We do. Even though it hurts, the truth hurts, man. It's like, you can't handle the truth. What movie was that about? You can't handle it. Sometimes we can't, but he's going to pierce down, and he wants to make us more like him. And one day we will be like him. But he's got these eyes like burning that were like a flame of fire. They're blowtorches. Nothing can withstand. Nothing's beyond his sight. And that's a good thing for us, because who's he looking out for? Us, yeah. So
Look at this next part. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. His voice was like, we talked about that last week about judgment. His voice was like the roar of many waters. It went from being a sounding trumpet to now the roar of many waters, like Niagara Falls, man. Like a big, huge day. How many of y'all ever pulled up to the beach and in the parking lot, you heard the waves and you knew it was going to be a good day, right? If you can't hear the waves, it's like, oh man, you're going to feel the no-see-ums, right? I'm just saying. So anyways, in this, his voice, it's power. Is there anybody more powerful than him? No. And have there been times where you just feel powerless? You feel like there's no hope. There's nothing I can do about this situation. If you're his, that's good news. Because let me ask you a question. If you could do something, would it be better than what the all-powerful, almighty God can do? No. So it's great to be powerful. Then we recognize the fact that we're powerless. And we have to totally depend on him. That's a great place to be. Because if you can accomplish what you can accomplish, it's far less than what he can accomplish. And it's really cool to be a part of what he can accomplish. So when we look and see who he is, man, it's an awesome thing. So look at this. This is pretty cool. This is the verse. Might not even get past this verse, but this might be the shortest service we ever have, Terry. Man, I mean, I don't even know what I'm going to say for 45 minutes, and that would get us out at 11. But we'll see. We'll see where God takes us, all right? But look at this. In his, the one in the midst. Here he is in the midst of the lampstands, right? He's in the middle of it. We're the lampstands. He's full of light. And in his right hand, that's the hand of power. It says he held seven stars. Now, a few weeks ago, if you were here, we talked about verse 20. Verse 20 tells us that the lampstands are the churches, and it tells us that the stars are the messengers or the angels. You can look at verse 20 and cheat in your Bible if you have it. It tells us that that's the messengers, the angels. Okay? Now, they're not the dudes with the wings, not that. The word literally means messengers for the seven churches. And you're going to see it play out later in Revelation, but what we really believe those are is they're the pastors. They're the ones that God gives the message to. They give the message to the people in the church. And what do the people in the church do with the message? What are you supposed to do with the message? I preach a message. You just get brownie points for showing up, man. I'm telling you, if y'all are, I did have somebody say one time when they left the church and they were really mad, they thought they got brownie points with God. They're like, I sat through 7 months of your messages. I'm like, well, that might be worth something. I don't know, you know. If it was that enduring, you know, I don't know. But you should have gone to a different church. But again, it's not about just the brownie points for being here with God. I'm speaking on God's behalf. You just got to figure out in between. Like, I'm speaking on God's behalf, and I'm giving you instructions. What are you supposed to do with it? Follow it to use it. So we have the stars. Now, that doesn't mean pastors are stars. Again, he tells us in verse 20, they're the messengers, the angels, the messengers. That's the word, the messenger. I get a message from God. I give it to you. How many of y'all ever got a message from God from his word? Terry, ever get one? Fernandy, ever get one? Yeah, you would get messages. Ben, you ever get one? God says, Ben, in his word, bam, you get a message. And so every one of us who are believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us, we get messages, and it's from God's word. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it isn't from God. And we'll get into that in just a second. But we get messages. And in it's for us, but it's also for us to share with other people in here. And so, again, he says, in his right hand, he held seven stars. So if you could imagine, he's holding you. He's holding you, David. He's holding on. He's got a hold of you. He's the shark, and you're the remora. Man, so instead of even a head that has to stay stuck, he's holding on to you. He's super glued you to himself, right? Can you imagine remora that's super glued? That's you. It's just faith. You got to dig the ride. We talked before about the yoke. Remember what Christ said about a yoke? A yoke, again, was this piece of wood that was custom fit for two ox. Oxen, is that how you say two ox? Oxen. And they plow. He said, if you're overwhelmed, if you're burdened, you're heavy laden. He was saying to the Jews about the religious system that was created. He said, if you're overwhelmed, stick your head in my yoke. He's that ox. You stick your head in his yoke, but you're like that little chihuahua again. Your feet don't even touch the ground. You can be yapping all your whole life and not, or you can just dig the ride. Dig the ride. Well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. Too bad. This is what he's got ordained for you. Dig the ride. You know, when you want what God wants, what do you get? You get what you want. If I want what God wants, I get what I want. When we come to the conclusion that God's will be done and my will is God's, we're okay, aren't we? God's will is going to be done whether you want to go yapping or not. His will is going to be done. And if you want his will for your life, then you can have what you want. The problem comes when we don't want what he wants. But that's where we've got to come into submission. So in his right hand, there you are. He held the seven stars. That's the shark and the remora, y'all. He's the shark. You're the remora. He's got you. You're stuck to him. And so think about this. Is there anything, Yaron, you guys are getting ready. I don't know if you want this on the web, but you guys are getting ready to go to Maine, right? But you have great guard dogs guarding your house. But anyways, could you use some protection driving on the way to Maine? Yeah, especially in a motorhome, dude. I'm just like, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you already. I'm glad to see you guys here this morning. But yeah, you could use some protection. How about US-1 on the way home? Anybody use some protection? Y'all watch on the St. Lucie scanner how many flipped cars there are a day? All these things. How many of y'all could use some protection? So you got protection. Well, wait a minute. My car flipped and I was spinning around. Well, that's right where God wanted you. And evidently, you're still here, and if you died, you'd be in heaven. So what's the big deal? Seriously. God's will is going to happen. And the sooner we are digging God's will, the sooner we're digging life. You know? I hope this week when we play that you don't... We are buying him a disc, man. There's a disc called The Buzz. it's a really great a great straight disc. We're buying him The Buzz, and we're all signing it. And I hope that didn't happen to you. But who hooked you up with all those wasps that day? It was God. In fact, I said, let's pray. I didn't know what else to do, man. Let's pray. And I was like, God, we know everything. I remember this prayer because it was the Holy Spirit putting it in me. And I'm thinking, oh, this is a stupid prayer if it wasn't the Holy Spirit. But I'm like, oh, dear God, we know that everything you do is to show us how much you love us. And right now, I'm pretty sure my brother would like to be loved a little less. But it is everything that happens in our life. I promise that was what the prayer was. That's what the Holy Spirit gave me, man. And but it was to show you he loved you somehow, some way. And that's the way we've got to see things in life. He's holding us in his right hand. That's his power hand. Barb, has anything happened in your life that's not by his design? Anything? Did God like take a nap? Go, oh no, look what happened to Barb. Oh, let's see if I can fix this. No. He had, and you know, according to Ephesians, you know when he planned, Ephesians chapter 2, very beginning, you know when he planned everything that's going on in your life? Before you were saved, before you were born, before your parents even knew, before the beginning of time, he has set us up for good works. So every single thing that goes on is a setup for good works. Amen? Yeah. In his right hand, man. Oh, it's so refreshing. If I am out in an ocean with all kinds of sharks and all kinds of, you know, I'm in a feeding frenzy. Where do I want to be? I want to be under the biggest shark there is. And this shark is the biggest shark of all sharks. There's no sharks that even can compare to this shark. The shark controls everything. In his right hand, man, he held seven stars. So you're a remora hooked up underneath the shark, which is God. Now look at this. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. So when I ask God, God, how do I stay stuck to you? How do I get faith? How do I dig the ride? How, you know, okay, so here I am. I'm stuck to you, all right? How do I dig the ride? Because there's things going on in my life that this is not what I would have chosen. This is not what I had to pick. How do I dig the ride? And it comes from the sharp two-edged sword. The sharp two-edged sword is what, y'all? It's his word. That's why it's coming out of his mouth. Now, did John really see a picture of he's holding the stars and there's a giant sword? John's just trying to describe something supernatural in his natural state.
And now, whether he actually saw that, but God's words were piercing. Christ's words were piercing. A two-edged sword. God's got the handle. There's a two-edged sword. What happens if you grab the sword? You get caught. Is there any way to grab the sword and not feel the effects of it? So think about that. As God gives you the message to you and you give to other people, the only message worth anything is the sharp two-edged sword. The only message worth anything is the Word of God. Chris, you ever met people with religious opinions? They got all kinds of, God told me then. Like, where do you, you know what my classic answer, question is for people? Where's that in Scripture? Constantly people tell me, this. I'm like, where is that in Scripture? Well, yeah, where is that in Scripture? Because the only thing that means anything in eternity, the only thing that's solid that we can hang our hat on, the only thing we can count on and bank our life on is the Word of God. But whether it's me preaching it or me receiving it, it's a two-edged sword. Hey, Salma, what happens when you get it? What happens with a two-edged sword? When you touch a two-edged sword? You're going to feel the effects, right? Is there any way to grab a two-edged sword without? So whether you're sharing it with your sister or you're receiving it from your mom, dude, everybody's getting the effects. That's how powerful God's Word is. It's the most powerful. How many of y'all ever read God's Word but thinking you were pretty good and you read it and you're like, uh-oh. You read it and you're like, oh, God. It reveals who you are. Again, sometimes it's like a bad photo. It shows you who you really are. But don't you really want to know who you are? So this sword is like, this isn't little Machaira sword. The word for sword is a big broad sword. And it was a big sword meant for stabbing. So when we read God's word, it should stab us. How many of y'all are perfect? Anybody here perfect? Anybody here have anything they don't need to have cut off spiritually? No. We all have all this, when I'm trimming that brisket a couple of weeks ago, man, I do have ribs in the oven right now, sitting at 165, 170, just kind of smoldering in there with mac and cheese underneath and some beans underneath there and some coleslaw that me and my sweet granddaughter made yesterday. Boy, man, you know what happened, man? We're making that coleslaw and I'm like, got a little bitter. She stuck her finger in there and then I tasted it. It was just sweet as could be. Man, brisket. When I was cutting that brisket, all right. When I was cutting that brisket, thank you. You helped me pull a middle wedgie. Thank you. So that brisket. You know what I'm cutting off? I'm cutting off stuff I don't want to eat. I'm trimming it. Am I making it better? Or am I making it worse? I'm making it better. And that's what's supposed to happen to us when we read the Word of God. It's a sharp, two-edged sword. You should read the Word of God and it should pierce you in some way. If you're honest with yourself, it should convict you. And it's God cutting that fat off that nobody wants a part of. How many of y'all got some fat that could be cut off? Spiritual fat, that is, I'm saying. You know? He's trimming you up to make you more appealing to this world. The ones that want to see Christ, at least, and it's more appealing to him. He's cutting out the excess. But understand, when you share the Word of God, it's going to do the same thing with other people. But yet the Word of God is the power. He held it right. He's got you in his hands. You're the shark. You're stuck there. But the way you dig the ride is by being in his word, because in his word you find his will. You know, y'all don't know what to do reading the word. Let me just throw this out at you. A lot of people aren't reading the Word of God. They're kind of reading devotions. Billy Graham actually said at the end of his life, if you got any advice, he said, I wish I would have read the Word of God more than books about the Word of God. Just read the Word of God. You know why Satan doesn't want you reading the Word of God? Because it's a sword. Because he knows that it's going to make you better and you're going to be able to help other people become better through that. It's your only offensive weapon in the armor of God. It's where you get your faith from. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Read Psalm 119, and every single verse in there in Psalm 119 tells you a benefit of the word. But Satan's got us scared. Oh, I can't understand. I'm going to misinterpret. Oh, this is boring. This is what. Just read it. Just read it. Who's the author of the word of God? God. And his whole, it was all inspired, breathed by his Holy Spirit. Where does his Holy Spirit live, Karen? He lives in you. It's a book signing table right there, man. You get to read it right there with the author and any questions you have. And by the way, how many of y'all would love to know every single thing that's in the Word of God? You want to, like, how many of y'all would love to have, Terry, would you love to just have God just dump the whole thing on you at one time? I mean, just cut away all the spiritual fat all at once. No, we like it a little bit at a time. But yet we get frustrated when we don't understand things in the Word of God, don't we? But I guarantee you, if you read the Word of God, you'll understand one thing at least. That's why I say all the time in our Bible study, what stuck out to you? What stuck out to you? What stuck out to you? Because the part that stuck out, that's God trimming that little bit of fat off that brisket. Sometimes it's that big old deckle fat right there, man. Sometimes it's just some silver skin. Y'all, how many of y'all know what I'm even talking about? All right, good, good. We got at least one meat trimmer here. All right, so I'm just saying, man, again, you read it. You don't have to understand it all. It would be overwhelming if God made all that wanted to use the Word of God to make all the changes in your life that you need. Wouldn't that be overwhelming if you sat down, you know, like, okay, God, change me. All the changes I'm going to need the rest of my life, just dump them on me now. You die. He takes it a little bit at a time. So whatever it is you understand, what do you want me to do with this, God? And do it. Just do it. When I first started reading the Word of God, man, my pastor, when I finally got a pastor, he said, read Proverbs in the morning. Proverbs is 31 chapters. And there's usually 31 days in a month, right? So whatever the date is, read that chapter. And there's only about 30 verses in each one of them. And so before you read, say, God, open my eyes. Let me see something awesome out of it. God, make one thing stick out to me. And bust through them. And see if he won't make one of those verses stick out. And then write that verse down. Now we have phones. You can take pictures of this. Right now it's in your phone. You can make it your screensaver. You can make it everything. But make it so you can pay attention to it and all day meditate on that verse and watch God work. I guarantee you he'll make it relevant. It's a sharp two-edged sword, meaning it can get into the tightest crevices. It means it can get in anywhere, it can open it up, and it can and it's sharp. It can cut away what we don't need. So read Proverbs in the morning and get that. Now, sometimes that's going to lead to other pieces, places in the Word of God. You can go anywhere you want, but that's a great place to start. Then he used to say at the end, at night, read Psalms. Anybody ever have a hard time sleeping? Anybody worry? How many of y'all think about things you shouldn't be thinking about at night when you're trying to go to sleep, right? Where they're, Psalms. Proverbs helps you know the mind of God. Psalms helps you know the heart of God. And there's 150 psalms and 30 days in a month. So how many would you have to read every day to read all the psalms in a month? 5. All right? That would take you less time than all of the reels that you've watched on social media. Guarantee you. Because I know I just timed it the other night for me. And how much more valuable is the Word of God in the psalms? You watch David go from whiner to winner. Over and over, and he starts out, oh, God, life's horrible. Man, I don't even want to wake up tomorrow and go to work. I don't want, you know. And all of a sudden, he starts thinking about what God has done in his life. He's like, yeah, man, I can't wait to wake up and go. And that's what David does. Man, can you imagine how that will change you? Is it any wonder Satan doesn't want you reading the Word of God? No matter where you read, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you and show you what you need to see. It's much more valuable than reading snippets, reading anything. The power comes in the Word. You got to read the Word. So in the right hand, the 7 stars, man, God said, I'm your shark. I'm your shark. You're the remora. He said, but this, and dig the ride. To dig the ride. Especially when it gets scary and gets tough and there's a million sharks around and they're all like snapping and they're getting close to dig the ride. You need that sharp two-edged sword. You need the confidence you get from my word. You need to hear from me. You need to hear me saying it's going to be all right. You need to hear me saying that if it isn't, you're going to die and go to heaven, and that's going to be even cooler. You need to hear from me. The sharper two-edged sword. But again, when God starts speaking with his word, who should he affect first? Me. And that's what we don't like, right? Wouldn't it be really cool if you could just apply the word of God to your neighbor always? The condo president, that, you know, somebody like that person in your job, your boss. And no, but it starts with you. And the purpose is to make us more like Christ. So in his right hand, he's got the seven stars. And that's the messengers of God. And the message that they get is from the word of God. So that's why from his mouth, why is he holding you? Why does he have you so close so you can hear what's coming out of his mouth? And again, the way he speaks right now is through his word. Hebrews chapter 1, he said in times past he spoke through dreams, spoke through prophets, spoke through all these things, but now in these last days he speaks through who? His son. And his son is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word is God. That's John chapter 1, the same dude. So why has God got you so close so you can hear what he's got to say from his word? If you don't have a Bible, I'll buy you a Bible. If you have a phone, we'll get it on your app. Man, if you don't know how to read, I'll teach you how to read. But I doubt that's the case. It's just that the enemy wants to keep us away. He doesn't want us to hear what God has to say. And he surely doesn't want you to hear from it and then meditate on it all day long. That's what man, blesses the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the counsel of the ungodly and walk in the way of sinners or sits in the seat of the scornful, but in his word, he meditates day and night. I've shared with you before that meditate. Meditate means to what? Where'd they get that word from? From a cow. Filling up his stomachs with all the good grass and eating when it's fresh. And then later in the day when stuff comes up, what's he going to do with that grass in his belly, Julie? He's going to barf it up and he's going to chew it up again and get the nutrients. And then what's he going to do? Swallow it. And he's going to barf it up and swallow it. But what? You think that's gross? That's what we're supposed to be doing with God's word. But if you ain't eating the grass, you ain't got nothing to barf up, man. And I'm telling you, if you've never had barfed up word of God, man, you're missing it. I'm saying it that way so you'll remember it. But you got to put it in to be able to bring it back up, to put it in to bring it back up. So again, he tells us in Isaiah, he said, you'll have perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. So if your mind is focused on him, you'll have perfect peace. Anybody here want peace? Yeah. And where do we hear? Again, it's the word of God. But yes, first person he's going to cut up and dice up is me. I don't come up here to dice up you guys. I've been diced up. You know how long I've been studying this verse 16? You're like, well, y'all have it down pat by now. No, but man, he's been hitting me with it. I'm in his hand. All that I have to say that's of any value is from his word. But that means I got to take the word in. It's got to be applicable to me. Not when I'm playing disc golf. It's like it's got to be applicable when I'm doing when I'm cooking, when I'm doing anything. I got to be thinking of that word. And I got to have it in me. Don't be scared to get into God's word. He loves you. It's a great love letter. Can you imagine? Julie, can you imagine? Brad, I know he's probably just the most romantic guy in the world, man. And Brad wrote all these love letters to you. Every day, Brad gets up after he's in the Word of God and praying for you and the family and doing all them godly things. He writes a love letter to you. And then he puts an envelope and he puts it on the counter and you don't bother to read it. Man, what a horrible wife. No, I'm just joking. No, but I'm just saying, you don't bother. Let's just say that was the case and you didn't bother to read it. Would you be missing anything? You'd be missing. He poured his heart out to you. You know what God did in his word? He's pouring his heart out to us. It's a love letter. But how many times are we just blowing it off and not even reading it? We're just not looking at it. Man, you've been reading out. Mary, You tell me, oh, I'm on my second time through. I'm now starting Genesis again. Are you getting anything out of just reading the Word? Yeah. Say that again. Do you see that? It's not like, well, yeah, I'll say yeah, because that's the great answer. No, she's because she's telling me about it. Oh, guess what this Word said? Guess what? Dude, get into the Word. It makes you more like Christ. It makes you dig the ride because you see life from God's perspective and not everyone else's, and especially not this world's perspective. And look at this next part. So he's got you held in his hand. So you're he's the shark, you're the remora, and from his mouth comes the sharp two-edged sword. This is his encouragement to stay stuck, stay stuck, stay stuck. Chris, when would you be most apt to bail? If you're on the shark, And you're in there, you're on the shark, when would you be most apt to bail from the shark and say, I just got to go do this on my own? Anybody? When would you be most apt? What? Yeah, when things are good. Yeah. Yeah, when things are, you know what? There's not a million sharks all around. Everything's kind of cool right now. You know? Hey, you know, I know my fins aren't much, but they can handle this current. Hey, the shark's going to, I really would like to go explore that reef right there, you know? I'd like, so when it's good, yeah, we sort of sometimes kind of wander off. But you know, the enemy likes to let us wander off. Good fish who are predators, they hide. And they let their prey get as far away from their protection as possible so they can swallow them up. Don't bail. He's got you. If you feel like you're far away from him, you know, he's still got you. God's so bad, you're not going to die, we're going to see, until it's time for you to die. But the fact is you can get maimed. Anybody ever been maimed? Yeah, maimed hurts. So get back to your protection. So that's what that two-edged sword, the Word of God. And so look at this next part. He said, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. So here's what we see. Christ in the middle of the lampstand. He's holding you. He's got a sharp two-edged sword where he's telling you everything you need to know. But what's the most important thing we're seeing when he saw all of this? What's the most impressive thing? The stars, the sword, or dude, God's face shining. God's face shining. The Shekinah glory. When you see how awesome God really is. Actually, have you ever just had a revelation? I mean, you've just been reading. I know you have because you've called me. When you've just been reading the Word of God and God shows you how awesome he is. Does anything else matter? No, because you see him in his full glory. When you see God in his full glory, but where are you going to see him like that? You're going to see it in the Word of God. You're going to see it when it's like, whoa. How many of y'all, like on your phones, y'all ever thought about stuff and then all of a sudden those ads start showing up on your phone? I don't know. I'm not sure how all that happens. But how do you feel? How do you feel, Trent? How do you feel when that happens? You know, you're, dude, I was just thinking about that. And there it is. You're like, wow, somebody knows something. But are you like, wow, that's a great thing. They know exactly what I'm thinking. No, you're worried about that. But what if God did that? Have you ever had God do that? I was just thinking about that, and look what God just did. I was just needing that. I didn't tell anybody, and look what God just provided. I was just doing this, and look what God did. Man, now when God does it, are you scared? Or are you kind of like, whoa, cool. And again, in the Psalms at night before you go to bed. In fact, here's how we were even kind of taught to do it. There's no method to this magic. It just breaks it up, and it worked out well. So what's the date today, y'all? I got to put my glasses on to see this. But the 7th, right? Okay, so read Psalm 7. Add 30 to that. That's Psalm 37. Add 30 to that, that's Psalm 67. Add 30 to that, that's Psalm 97. Add 30 to that, and what's that one? Yeah, read that one. You read 5 Psalms. And then tomorrow, start with Psalm 8, and then keep doing it. And again, you don't have to do it that way, but it's kind of cool how it's put together. Read that before you go to bed and see if you don't sleep better, if you don't have some peace. But you can pick the Word of God up anywhere and just read it, and he opens it up for you. What you need to understand, it'll be there. He'll pull, man, those ribs. We get home today. Did I mention I made some ribs? dude, I'm going to cut them ribs up. They're going to be beautiful. Just hold it. You're going to bite into it, and it's going to go all the way down the bone, but not fall off. They're just the perfect texture. I think that's where they're going to be. Now, Lana, she's getting to be the age where she could rip it off. She can get a little bite, do whatever she wants. Kohath. No, what's my grandson's name? Cohen. No, Cohen? No, yeah, Cohen. Yes, I got it now. That was a law firm on Cool Runnings. Cohen. Yes, Cohen. So if Cohen just came out, and Cohen was there today, he's going to be your kid, so he'll be eating meat first day. He'll be eating all that stuff. But anyway, so Cohen, let's just say he's 6 months old, 7 months, 8 months old, and he's there. If I give him a rib, what's going to happen? It's going to be all over him. He's going to choke on it because he's going to be my grandson and yours too. So can the boy eat or what? It's in his genes. Yes, it's going to be in his genes. So he's going to give it a shot. And man, can you imagine that little baby with a rib? And it gets all stuck in it. Let's just say he ain't going to need no teeth for these, man. It's just, man, I'm just saying, man, he's got all that in his mouth. He's choking on it. But if somebody's there delicately just pulling a piece off and handing him just what he needs, he can digest it. And my point is, that's what God wants to do with his word for us. Don't be scared of his word. Read his word. He'll pull off just what you need to digest, and it's usually what you need to be sharpened. And so when you are in his word and in that intimate relationship, his face is going to be shining like the sun at full strength. And boy, that gives you confidence because you know God's looking down on you. And just as if you had God in the flesh walking right beside you, Barbara, walking down, would you be scared of anything? God says, hey, I want you to go over there. No, I'm not going over there. I'm scared. No, but you got him walking right. You'll go wherever. I want you to do that. Yep, I'll do that. I want you to tell these people. You'll do that. That's what you have. When you understand that he's the shark, you're the remora, you're stuck to him, and you're digging where you're going because you're hearing his voice tell you, hey, watch this. You ever had any adventures, Chris? Hey, watch this. You're like, and there it is. But when you see God in all his glory, man, it's a cool ride. Is it not, Tara? Is it not a cool ride to just dig what God is doing? And that's what I see when I'm into this one, and I got to finish the rest. We could stop right now, Terry, and that would be a world record, 10:46. But that's not the important. The Holy Spirit wants me to finish this chapter, which there's not much left on this chapter, Terry. There's only a few more verses. All right, so look at this. Next part. So when I saw him, all right, so check this out. So when he saw him, all right, he just described who he was, but when I saw Christ, look what he says, I fell at his feet, though dead. Yeah, this blows away all these people who say, oh, we saw God in our church. He showed up. We had the presence. Man, you're not equipped to handle the presence of God. He saw God in all his holiness, and he fell dead because of how awesome God is. Go look in Scripture and look up every situation where people have literally seen God in person in some way, shape, or form. Nobody's seen the full glory of God. But anybody who's seen God, this is exactly what happens. They fell dead. Just a little angel. We talk about this at Christmas all the time. Selma, you know this. You've been here since you were a little girl. What does everybody say when they see an angel? Everybody, come on, you guys help me out. What does everybody say when they see, and they fall dead? That's an angel. That's not even God. So John, man, when he saw God, it was just like, whoa. And we've lost the fear of God. We've lost the holiness of God. We've lost the righteousness. He is our friend, yes, but he is holy and he is righteous. And that motivates us to be holy and righteous. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead. At his feet, dead is better alive than anywhere else in the world. At his feet, dead. But look at this next part. It says, but then he lay. And by the way, did John ever fall on his face dead before Christ, before the resurrection? No, he was leaning on him the night before he was betrayed. He was hanging out. They were trying to cut deals so they could be on the right and the left hand. Now he sees me. He saw the almighty risen Savior. The one, he's praying for you now. The one that's protecting you. The one that's providing for you. the one that's propelling you. He's the that's who he is. But look at this. He laid his right hand on me. And he said, what? All right, so I want to put this in English because whenever you hear, fear not, I am the first and the last. Fear not. We're like, okay, whatever. You know what? In the Greek, how this actually comes out, it says, stop being afraid. That's literally in the Greek, stop being afraid. Have you ever, you've been afraid since you've been a believer? You've been afraid today? Yeah. Who's been afraid in the last month, last week, the last day, the last 10 minutes? No, I'm like, yeah. Fear, this is what, look what he, literally, go look up the Greek. He says, and if Jeroen wanted to look it up, he could tell us in Dutch what it said. But in the Greek, it says, stop being afraid. You've been afraid? Yeah. Everybody here is afraid at some point of something. I didn't see a lot of fear in your eyes. I just saw survival the other day, brother. But I'm just saying, man, he says, stop being afraid. What are things that we're afraid of? We're afraid that if we do things God's way, that it's not going to work out. We're afraid, you know, when we went to plant this church, I didn't want to plant this church. I told you I didn't want to plant this church. I had the first service just to prove we weren't supposed to do it. And Carrie and Jeroen were actually, they were part of that, actually. And Fernando was part of it. And all that. And I said, all right, we're having a worship service. You know what happened that night after I said that? Jeroen had a website up for us. I'm like, no, stop. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. And Fernando had a business set up in sunbiz.com or whatever it is. And I'm like, no. I was afraid because I didn't want to do what I'd done in all the other churches, which is let God grow a church. Our job's to make disciples, his job's to grow a church. And I was done playing all those games and pulling out all these seminary tricks and trying to do all these growth strategies and all these things. And it was just like, God, all I can do is preach your word and love people. That's it. And he said, that's all I want you to do. I want you to make disciples and let me build the church. And I'm like, God, how's that going to work? If y'all hadn't figured it out, what we have right here is the most horrible business plan you could ever have. But it's the most awesome kingdom plan. And when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything you need is added, but it takes faith. It's scary. It takes faith. And you got to be sure you're doing what God wants you to do. But when God said, you don't trust me to build a church, do you? And I said, honestly, God, no, I don't. The same way when God's asked you to do certain things, you might be bold and say, yep. And then there's some times where I don't trust you. I believe, but help me in my what? Help me in my unbelief. We go through these times. That's why the word of God is there. But look what he said. He laid his hand on him. Within his presence, he said, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. Don't be afraid of me. Don't be afraid of my plan. Don't be afraid. Because what I say is done. What I'm going to do is a done deal. This is the way it's all going to work. How many of us are afraid to tell people that if they die without Christ, they're going to hell? We're afraid. But is that not what's going to happen? Man, we're afraid sometimes to tell them, I've surrendered my entire life to Christ. I don't want to do things that way. Again, we're afraid. He said, stop being afraid. He said, I am the first and the last. And this is pretty interesting. The first and the last, in that, you know, he says, when all of the other false gods, Terry, I know you remember this one from last night now, right now, but all of the other false gods, once they're all gone and done, Christ stands alone. All the false gods, once they're gone, for good, he stands alone. He's the one you can count on. Don't be afraid. I'm here now. I've always been here. I'm here now, and I'll always be there. Don't be afraid. Look at this next part. He says, and the living one. I'm the living one. I'm alive. He's eternal. I died as a human being, but I never died as God. And behold, I am alive for how long? Because who's keeping you saved right now? He is. So I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death in Hades. So who determines when you die? Who determines that you're going to live? Who's in charge of that? Dude, Dylan, if it's not your time to go, can any army in the world take you out? How about some assassins, man? I don't know. You might be the secret little agent guy that, you know, we've had weird people like that in our church before that I find out, I'm like, whoa, man. But you might be the secret dude, and there might be hit contracts out on you and all kinds of stuff. In fact, y'all get a picture of him, man, in case he's on the witness protection plan, and we're going to reveal him, you know. But even still, if it's not your time to go, are you going to go? No, but what if it is your time to go? Is there any medical team in the world that can keep you alive? You're immortal until God is done with you. You're immortal until God's done with you. Isn't that right, my brother? On that table, you know, when you're having them heart attacks, you're immortal till God is done with you. Is he done with you yet? No, not at all. So what are you afraid of? He's got it all under control in all of this. So now he gives us the outline to the book of Revelation. This is what we'll be looking at from now. He says, write, therefore, the things that you have seen. Okay, the things you've already seen. So that's what we've studied so far, the things that we've seen. He goes on and then he says, and those that are, that's going to be chapters 2 and 3 with the churches. And then the things that are to take place after that, and that's going to be chapters 4 on to the end. So it gives us, tells us what this book is about. He says, write these things. Again, super quick, he says, as for the mystery of the 7 stars that you saw in my right hand and the 7 golden lampstands, the 7 stars are the angels, the messengers of the 7 churches. The 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. Not going over all that again because we've gone over that a lot, but I think what God wants you to remember today is this. Y'all help me out and we'll be done, man. Everybody stick your hand up. God is what? He's a shark and I'm the remora, man. Dude, if we can get that through our head and assume those roles and be that, man, I think we can be quite a witness for Christ. If you don't know that's where you're at today, you don't know that that's your position in life, you still think you're the shark. I'm the shark. I'm in charge. You know what, man? You're just going to have a rough life. And if Christ is not the shark in your life, you die without Christ, you go to hell. The only way you can give your life to Christ is if he gives you the desire and ability to do that. If he's giving you the desire, he's giving you the ability, and that's what you need to do right now. You're the only one who can do that. Surrender to him. If you already have, dig the ride. Right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for letting us be able to finish this chapter with what we have. Father, I'm grateful that you woke me up in the middle of the night and just reiterated the whole shark and remora thing. Because, Father, sometimes we think we're a remora and we're on our own. And we're trying to be the biggest, baddest remora in the ocean. And that's not what we're created to do. We're created to be a remora to stay underneath you. Sometimes we think we're a shark and we fight with you and we know that that's a losing cause. We think we've got to compete. We think we've got to take care of ourselves. But Father, what a beautiful thing it is to just remember we're stuck to you eternally. Your predestination for us in Romans 8:29 says that we're going to become like Christ. You tell us if we want to dig the ride, we just have to stay stuck to you. We stay stuck to you by reading your word. Father, that's perhaps my greatest prayer this morning, that believers would read your word, because it's in your word that we find the truth. I bet you so many people here know about that lady named Karen who stole the baseball. Know about the other dude, the executive who stole the hat. We know so much about what's going on in this world, but help us, Father, to know more about you, because we spend more time with you than we do on the things of this world. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.